Las cosas que necesito en la vida ya están aquí. Las cosas que necesito en la vida ya están aquí. I am free, free as a bird now, with my feathered wings. I am free.
Hey everyone, welcome to free the Clean Up Catholic podcast. I am Lee Brennan, your host. I am a pilgrim, two times walking the Camino, and I loved it so much that I moved to Spain. So I'm coming to you tonight from Santiago. And I am very, very happy to have Jan Rose here with me tonight. And Jan is a very special pilgrim that has not just walked the Camino, but has walked it as part of the Warriors on the Way program, which you know I love and adore. Father Stephen's been on the show numerous times. And I've invited Jan to come and talk about her own Camino, plus the experience that she had being a part of this group. So I think we'll jump right to it, because I think she's going to have a lot of stories for us. So Jan, welcome to the Camino Cafe.
Thank you, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Now, you are at the Family Ranch in Austin, Texas, which just sounds amazing. I think you said it's been in the family for, what, 190 years?
140.
140 years. That is amazing. Well, it looks beautiful. Just the part I can see right now. So
Thank you. I can only
imagine what it's like. So let's start with, I'm not sure, I know that Father Stephen has taken a couple of groups, so I'm not sure which group that you went with. Did you go in fall 2019 or fall in 2021 or both?
September 2019.
Okay, fantastic. And before that, had you been familiar with the Camino, and did you find out about it because of Warriors on the Way, or was it something kind of already in your mind?
It was something in my mind. I have a friend whose son lived in Santiago, and she always wanted to do the Camino. So she did it a couple years before I did. And okay. I was just taken with her stories and her experiences.
Okay. All right. So obviously you have military experience, or you probably wouldn't have gone on this trip. So let's start there and talk about, can you share with us how you served in the U.S. military and what you did, how many years, all that kind of information.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'm Major Jan Rose, retired. My story is unique. I joined the Army Reserves at age 48.
Yes.
And I was a nurse in 2004. And the number one question that I get from everybody is why? And my only explanation is a stroke of patriotism. We have a son that was in the military at the time and is continuing to serve today. And our country was in a situation where they desperately needed healthcare workers, doctors and nurses, and they raised the age limit. And I talked to my family and everyone supported me. If there was something I could do, I was willing to do it. I didn't know that a year later I would be branch transferred out of the nurse corps and into civil affairs in the U.S. Army and stepping off a plane in Iraq. And spend the next 10 of the 14 years on active duty, either mobilized or deployed. So it went from a weekend job to a full-time job quickly, but I wouldn't trade for my experiences and the opportunities that I had.
All right. So first I want to say, as a U.S. citizen, thank you for your service. I really, really appreciate it. And I love our veterans.
you were worth it. You were worth it.
Thank you so much. Now, you and I were chatting just a bit right before the call, and you said you actually are part of a military family. So had you had parents or grandparents or siblings also in the military?
Parents, my father, my brother, and again, our son is a U.S. Marine today.
Well, he's a Marine. I was going to ask you. Where is he serving right now?
Currently, he's in school, but he'll be at the Pentagon next year. So,
oh, fun. Where's he go to school?
He is in War College in Montgomery, Alabama. So,
all right. Can we give a shout out to him? What's his name? Let's say hi.
Colonel James Rose. Yes.
Colonel James Rose. That's got a nice ring to it. So
it does. It does. And he's
going to be watching Mama on this. So
he's a great young man with a great supportive family. Yes.
All right. Well, we thank him as well for his service. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So you have heard about this from your friend, you said, right? And it gets you interested in the Camino. And then Correct. How did you hear about Warriors on the Way and what made you sign up?
Well, friends in common with Father Steve had gotten he and I in touch. And after visiting with him and finding out what his mission was, what his goal was, I just wanted to be a part of it. I thought this man, our Father Steve was a chaplain in the Army. And these guys are unbelievable. What they did, what they saw, how they helped soldiers, especially at the time that he served and all of his background. I just wanted to know him. And the more I knew about him, the more we visited, the more I wanted to be a part of his team, be honored to be a part of his team and walk the Camino with him. So it was everything I anticipated. He is a shepherd of men and women, but he is a very kind soul.
He really is. And his service is just remarkable. The stories he shared with me are really deeply moving. And
absolutely.
And the story of his own healing during the Camino and after, and how that has influenced the starting of Warriors on the Way, just really has stuck with me and so impressive. So let's talk a little bit about your military service. I can't even imagine having served in Iraq. And, you know, what was that like for you? And, you know, in the transition of coming back home, because you didn't sign up to go do this necessarily, right? You signed up for the reserve. So I don't understand how that happens, that you sign up for the reserves for a weekend job and somehow now you're full time in Iraq. So how does that happen? Like, I'm guessing, did you have a say in this or?
No. And that's the first thing you learn when you join the military. You have no say.
Okay.
But it is sort of a funny story. As a nurse, I was a healthcare administrator in oncology. And a recruiter came to our facility because we had a huge number of RNs. And he was having a hard time even getting his foot into the door with other organizations. And he said, you know, you've got 45 RNs. You think anybody would be interested in serving in the reserves? We are desperate as a company. 2004, we had been at war a couple of years, and a lot of the young nurses had served and they were getting out, and they realized this was going to be a long haul and they needed experienced nurses. And he said, would you mind if I tried to recruit? I said, absolutely not. I support it. If somebody wants to do it, that'd be wonderful. He said, well, you sound pretty supportive. How about you? And I said, well, I'm too old. And he said, how old are you? And I said, I'm 47. And he said, yeah, you're too old. So, so he recruited, and there was some interest, but no one that was really willing to do it. About 3 months later, he called back and he said, Ms. Rose, I just want you to know you're not too old anymore. And so there came the decision point. Should I or should I not?
Wow.
How he explained it would be that you would support our hospitals back here in the United States if you were called to active duty, probably. But again, things ramped up quickly. They needed people and bodies. And so the next year, I'm taken out of the nurse corps and put into civil affairs, which is to build nation building and to win the hearts and minds of the country, of the people, the country we were in. And so I went retrained at Fort Bragg and then deployed during the surge to help with building healthcare infrastructure for the Iraqi people. But because of the situation and the combat atmosphere, I probably did about 70% nursing and 30% nation building. So I was at the right place at the right time with experience and maturity. And I really think it was obviously the best use of my experience, my past experience. So it was a exceptional opportunity. But what I took away and what I believe is the team is what the military is all about. Mm. Very often, and even during those days, people would ask, do you believe in war? Do you believe in what we're doing? Do you think this is the right thing? And really and truly, those that serve, that is the last thing on their mind. What they believe and what they do is care about the person on their left and their right, the person on the team, and that you do what's asked of you, knowing that those people are making decisions based on things you don't even know. So my personal journey was in an area that was war-torn, and our service people were injured and killed, and the Iraqi people were injured and killed and suffered. Mm-hmm. And so I guess my question that I came away from is, did I do enough? Did I save enough? Mm-hmm. Did I make the right decisions on prioritizing all the efforts that I went through? Because very often I would be the only healthcare person in an area or on a convoy or in a mass cow situation. And my question to myself was, did I do it right? Did I make the right decision? Could I have done it better? Mm-hmm. So I truly, truly struggled with that afterwards. The other question that I had was it worth what I put my family through? You can imagine my 80-year-old mother who has two grandsons and a daughter serving in Iraq at the same time.
You were 48, probably about the time you got there, 49.
I turned 50 in Iraq. I turned 50. So, you know, they went through a lot, and I've sent family to war, and I've gone, and it is much easier to go than to send and to be back home. So, and then you also want to continue it when you retire and when you get out and when your job is done and you turn it over to someone else. You want to continue. I so understand Father Steve wanting to share the relief he found with others.
Yes.
And I think that's also one of the things that's so important to me, is to continue to share opportunities, hope, healing that I've found for other other soldiers.
Did these kinds of questions, you know, were they things that kept you up at night? Were they questions where you felt almost like a feeling of guilt or disappointment or?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Certainly. Guilt. Guilt about what you do, the choices you make and how it affects others, mm-hmm. whether that's on the battlefield, because when it was only me and we would have, you know, 200 injured Iraqi people and I had to choose who I could help, mm-hmm. And those that I couldn't help. Prioritize those that would make it, in my opinion, and those that wouldn't, those that had an opportunity and those that didn't. But also, like I say, guilt about leaving my family, my work, my employer, my job, mm-hmm. people that counted on me at home, my other children that were in college, you know. So
that's a lot to carry, Jan. I mean,
that's a lot. Uh-huh. But I don't think it's any different than any other warrior. I don't think that I'm so grateful that I have that insight. It helps me with my relationship with my son when he discusses, I mean, he's deployed probably, I don't know, 14, 15 times over the last 20 years. So I wouldn't change a thing, but it's a journey that we all start and we all have to deal with.
Yeah. Your story is so interesting in the fact that you did go later in life and you're processing, you know, that experience had to be so appreciated by everyone that, you know, you touched. And also, I think we handle things differently at different ages, right?
Absolutely. And I think I was approachable to Iraqi people because I was older.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a young nurse. I worked with a lot of women over there on issues. I got to be in their homes and talk to them about their fears and concerns and what they wanted for their children, which wasn't just a whole lot different than what we want. They wanted safety and education and a better future.
Yeah.
Be able to say to them, that's exactly what we want. You know, yeah. those are the things we talk about when we get together as mothers.
Yes, absolutely. I find that, you know, as well, right? You know, we're walking, we meet somebody from another country, and before long, we're talking about the same exact wants and needs and the same worries, the same.
There are more commonalities than there are differences across the globe. And you see that on the Camino. Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
all the nationalities and all the ages and all the physical limitations, and to see people walking together, that's the best part.
Well, let's talk about, so you're dealing with these questions. And mm-hmm. then you find out about Father Stephen and about the warriors on the way. And so let's talk about you land in Spain. You've traveled, you've done lots of things, but now you're with this group that you've pretty much just met. And I think your first night you stayed just outside of Astorga, you kind of grouped together. And
right.
So what did that feel like? Getting there and realizing, like, oh my gosh, what have I signed up for? I'm getting ready to walk and do this thing. Can you talk to us about what you were feeling and kind of give people maybe an idea of if they sign up for this, if this is something they're interested in doing, what's it like to get started?
No, it was very exciting. I think the first and overwhelming concern was, will I walk fast enough? Will I be strong enough? Can I carry my own pack? Will I get whiny? will my feet have blisters? Did I bring the right stuff? Did I bring enough stuff? And the answer to every bit of that is the Camino will provide.
Yeah.
And the day that I thought I can't go another step, there was another step in there. Mm-hmm. There was another. It is so much like our military training. I don't want to let the guys down. I don't want someone to get hurt because I didn't do my part.
Yeah.
They can't carry my pack in their pack. So I need to dig deep. And all those, it was such a parallel to the things I felt when I reported to Officer Lacey School and when I reported to Fort Bragg for special operations training. And all those things, it was such parallels. And such comfort to know down in there was the strength.
Mm.
And when you reach that point in whatever it is in your life, when you persevere, when you get out of your comfort zone, and when you help somebody else through their low point, that feeling of it is wonderful. And that's what it is. It's so if there is a warrior that's listening and feels those same things and misses that feeling of camaraderie, misses that feeling of comfort, and misses that feeling of accomplishment, mm-hmm. whether you have deep fears, deep issues with handling what you went through, there's someone else walking with you that's been there just like you have. And they're going to be there and they're going to walk with you. And when you're by yourself and you feel that feeling of team members all around you pulling for you, it is a very healing time.
You know, Dr. Renee and I were talking last night. I had never considered how difficult it would be to, you know, in the military, you are part of a team. Mm-hmm. And then when you retire or your service time ends, you go home and all of a sudden you're just on your own with all of these memories, you know, and it must be really hard, I would imagine, to go from that team setting to all of a sudden being on your own. And right. Especially if you don't have a military family or... I think that sounds like that experience of walking with the group of warriors on the way must really feel good, like you're saying.
It does. So, it does.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, it just feels, you cannot explain it. You cannot explain that feeling to someone that hasn't experienced what that is like to have that team and that school. And some of those team members might be messed up and all kinds of wrong, but they're our team and we're going to bring them through.
Yes.
And be better because of it, you know, because they're part of the family. But the other thing, there are so many people that go home to broken families and don't have that support that I had. That divorce happens and separation and children grow up without fathers and mothers.
Yeah.
And that those big caverns that happen in family dynamics, that my Camino team, I will stay in touch with for the rest of my life. There, a week of that creates a lifetime of friendship. I could call any of them and say, hey, I need a little help, or I'm going through this, or pray for me on this, you know.
Let's talk just a small bit about practicality. If you had to estimate, what did you typically walk? How many kilometers a day or miles do you recall walking each day?
I think it was 150 a day, but I think actually it was 15.
I think the last 3 kilometers always feel like 25 just on their own, right?
Exactly. But, you know, we had a pretty fast clip. We were up before daylight and on the trail and at the end earlier in the day. But we went anywhere from, I think the lowest was 12 to 14 on a real hilly day to maybe 20, 22, but it averaged about 15 a day.
You know, Father Stephen would send me the updates from the fall group this past fall, and I was just amazed. I would look at the amount that was being walked and the pace. Yes.
The pace was quick, and you know, I had to train for it. I had to get back into my walking. But I have a beautiful place to walk, and I walk most every day. So it does encourage you to stay in shape to go on the pace that he had us going on.
Yeah. That has its own healing effects, doesn't it? Do you know?
It does.
Just the planning of it
and
walking and doing the things that we need to do.
Right. But it was the exercise, the physicality of it was wonderful, you know, and those great pilgrim meals at the end of the day.
Yes. You don't have to worry about a calorie. You burn them off.
That's right. Okay.
So let's talk about, really love Cruz de Ferro and what it stands for. And I know that's really early on in your journey, and the Father Stephen has you do some special things in preparation for it. And so I wonder if you could kind of describe for us what that preparation was like for you. And if you want to share what you were going to place your stones, what you were carrying and releasing at Cruz de Ferro, and what that experience was like for you.
It really was magical and spiritual. As we walked in the early morning before the sun was up and was cloudy and the clouds parted and you could see the cross in the distance as we're walking towards it. Anticipation of, am I going to feel what I want to feel, what I'm supposed to feel? Is it going to be real? Is it going to be spiritual in my case? And I carry stones for different reasons. But one of the things that I did in preparation for my trip is I contacted a close group of friends that have been my friends for 40 years. And I contacted members of my family and I asked them what I could pray for a lot. And for them, specific. And people responded with a variety of things, from immediate needs to future needs to past problems and hurts. And I wrote them down in a notebook. And so every day I spent time by myself, concentrating on that person, praying for that person and praying for those special things. And as I'm walking towards the cross, it occurred to me that I had not done my own inventory, my own question. It was just a revelation, like, okay, you are the the person that cares for others. You're the nurse. You're the, but what have I done to ask for my own blessings and prayers? And it occurred on my walk that morning to the cross. And it was just such a revelation to me that you've prepared and thought, and it was a wonderful experience to be able to pray those things for those people and to tell them that I did and to demonstrate that for my family and friends. But I often don't ask for my own healing and my own blessings. So as I walked there, and we had a service there at the foot of the cross, and then to watch my team members and the way they responded to their own inner laying at the cross, was just one of the highlights of my life. It truly was a time I'll never forget of laying it all there. And truly, it changed the Camino for me. The Camino didn't change, I changed.
How so?
Well, I began to look, I continued to look to help others, but I also looked to help myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that was coming. That really wasn't a lot of where my mind and heart were. So I'm glad it happened early in the walk. Yeah.
What a profound moment. So absolutely. Did you had this ritual then for these folks that you were praying for? So mm-hmm. did there become a ritual for Jan, or how did this manifest into, hey, now I need to start taking care of myself?
Exactly.
How did you do that?
I literally took my notebook where I had everyone's name and all that they had sent me or written me or told me. And I started a page for myself.
Wow.
And I wrote those things down that they're important for me to leave behind, to know I did my best, and to know where I needed to work harder, and to know things that I need to change. Because it really all, I can't really change others. I only change myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was powerful. It was important, and it was a beautiful time on the Camino. There was one particular warrior that we were with that was such a strong man, and he was just overcome, and it was beautiful to be able to just hold his hand, and without saying a word, we knew what we'd been through. We knew those people that we'd left behind, and our friends that had died in Iraq. We knew that we needed to live.
That's what we wanted to do. Wow. We knew we needed to live. That is.
Yeah. And we honor those that sacrificed. Yeah. We honor those that sacrificed the ultimate
yeah.
living and telling their stories and remembering them and walking for them because they can't.
Right. This feels like, in just hearing your story, that, you know, this really kind of gives you some closure and some a way to come together with the group after you've had some time to process mm-hmm. what's happened after your service and during your service. This just seems like such a cathartic experience to be able to come back after all that time and to be with folks and talk about these things and maybe not even talk, but just hold the hand.
Right, right.
So now you leave Cruz de Ferro and you're on your way to Santiago. And, you know, what is it, Jen, now that you look back, what do you think it is as far as about the Camino or the pilgrimage that helps you process? What is it about walking every day and doing these things and just your opinions? You know, it's all it is. It's our pilgrim opinion. But what is it about the Camino that helped you, do you think, come to that revelatory moment? And then I'm sure much more that we'll get to in a second. But what is it about pilgrimage, in your opinion, that's so healing for all of us?
Well, I think there's a lot. The history, the path that people have walked for centuries, the differences in our world from when they walked and when we walk. But really, the path is the same, no matter if you're in the Roman Wars or in today's world. There's so many similarities. And so those people that walked before me walked for the very same reason I'm walking today. And something's right about that. Something is right about what they experienced and what they've taught their children and their children and their children. And that country taught another country and another country and another civilization, you know. But I think the whole experience, the whole doing something outside your comfort zone, opening yourself up to talking with other people as you walk, really searching your heart and your soul as to what's going on in your life and how you can be a better person, you know, a better family member, a better nurse, you know, all of it together. And it's getting outside of the pressures of the world, not knowing what's going on, because whatever it is, it went on yesterday and it will go on tomorrow with the conditions of the world. But you're just in such a protected, loving environment. I've never experienced every person you meet, every individual that you have the pleasure to walk with, every albergue you stay in the host and it's amazing that there are that many supportive people for a complete stranger.
You said something earlier when we were first chatting before the recording started, that many of us go to try to find healing, mm-hmm. but also there's another gift, and that it prepares us for the future. You said it much more eloquently than I just did. Can you say what you said earlier and tell me more about that? Because I love this concept.
Well, I think some people go, and probably I was in this category. You go because you know that it's a good thing, and you know there's probably something out there that you're going to benefit from. You don't really have a whole lot of distinct things that you can point to that say, I'm broken. But that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be circumstances in your future that aren't going to just devastate you. Whether that be death, divorce, job loss, health issues, relationship issues. You are better prepared with what you gain on the Camino to handle those stressors in life. You might have talked with someone that had such a devastating life, or a wrong turn in their life. And they shared with you those moments. And you can dig back into that tool bag and go, I remember what they said about illness. I walked with a person that was terminally ill, and their perspective on life was just beautiful. And I hope that when I get to the stage in life when illness or accidents or whatever, you know, affect me, that I can have the strength and the peace and the wisdom that person that I walk with. So it prepares you in ways you don't even know today. But we all go through those things. We all lose people. We all have situations. So all of that is part of life. And if we can prepare now when those things happen, that's the blessing that you don't even think about. You're healing from all kinds of things, but you're also putting that tool bag together for the future.
That is so well said. You're right. I don't think a lot of us even think of it that way. You know, we're going to resolve something. We're going to, you know, trying to get over something or, you know, process. And you're right. I think we walk away with so much more strength, maybe more courage, more faith and belief in what we can accomplish after doing the Camino.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally agree.
Now, this might be a funny story, I'm thinking, because Dr. Renee said, make sure you ask Jan about the Croc story. So was there a story about your Crocs that we need to know?
Okay. Well, towards the end of our walk, maybe 2-3 days before we reached Santiago, there was a precious girl. That was walking the Camino alone. She was probably in her 20s. And she, we had, you know how you cross paths with someone, you don't see them for 2 or 3 days, and then you cross again. And one of our warriors had called and said, I'll be in late. I'm walking with Maria. We all knew who Maria was. And he said, her feet are in shreds. And we're just going to make our way there, but we'll be late. And so I walked backward on the trail to meet them. And she was from South America. She had come all that way by herself to walk, and she spoke very little English. And she literally was, you could see the blood on her shoes from her blisters. Mm. She was walking on feet that I don't know how anybody could walk. And she would not stop. It was so important to her to take every step. And we tried to get a taxi, and absolutely not. And we offered to carry her, the soldier and I. And she said no. And she walked all the way to our albergue. And so our group went on to dinner. And I took her shoes and socks off. And her feet were so swollen and so bloody. Blisters all the tops, the bottoms, the toes, the heels. I've never seen shredded feet like that. And so we bathed her feet. And there is something very personal about washing someone's feet. It's an honor, it's a privilege, and it's symbolic of so much more than just washing someone's feet. we washed her feet and we wrapped her in gauze and her feet, and she could not get those shoes back on. And she was actually going to walk on. She had a reservation on down the road about another mile, and she was going to walk. And so her little tiny feet, maybe a size 5 or 6. My feet are a 9 or 10. And so after I wrapped her feet, the only other shoes I had besides my boots were my Crocs that I had carried as my second pair of shoes. So I put my Crocs on her. They would go. And she walked on down the road from us. And it was just amazing. She was the most precious, precious person. And just tears, this big, burly soldier and I, we're just crying as she's walking on. And so that the story is very, it's more symbolic about the heart of a warrior. You think he and I were warriors. That's the heart of a warrior to walk on. And she was not going to have it that she didn't take every step. And she did. And then when we got to Santiago the next day, we were in the square when she came walking in. And it was like the Olympics. It was so much more exciting than any of us crossing that square to see her walk and to take pictures with her and to love her. Just precious, precious, precious.
What an incredible pilgrim.
Exactly, exactly. So yes, they all tease me because I lost my second pair of shoes, which, you know, is like heaven at the end of the day to put something else on, but that didn't matter. My Crocs, I would bet my Crocs are still walking somewhere.
And for those that haven't walked it, you know, I'm going to say, and for those that have walked, you know, at the end of the day, you want to take off those shoes you have walked in all day. So having a pair of cushy Crocs at the end of the day is kind of dreamy feeling. So you've given those up. You knew at that point that all you're going to have were your boots the rest of that night.
The rest of the time.
I wanted to say how impressed I am with you, first of all, the fact that, you know, when you start the journey, you're questioning, can I even do this? Will I be able to keep up? Will I be able? And in this story, you said, so after we got this call, I turned around and I walked backward. So you added more steps to the day to go back and help this girl. And then you said, and we offered to carry her. So you went in the beginning, could you carry a backpack? And now you're offering to carry a pilgrim.
That's true. That's the miracle of that happens on the walk. It is just a miracle. Yeah. And that I hadn't even thought about that, but she was her tiny, tiny feet with my big shoes. You can only imagine. We were so excited when we saw her. We were so excited.
Did she walk into the square with your Crocs on?
She did. She did. She walked in the Crocs the rest of the trip.
So your Crocs walked into that square.
It did. And I'm sure they're still walking somewhere. She was an amazing pilgrim. Amazing.
Wow. What a moment. Well, my next question was going to be, what was it like when you got to the square, I think?
Oh, it was total relief and wonderful and excitement and all of that. But when she walked into the square, it was better. It was better. And we were so glad we got to see her, because sometimes you don't cross paths again. But yeah, and she was so happy and she was just so precious.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't want to discount anyone else's opinion, but when a Army nurse says, I've never seen feet like that, that means something.
You can imagine, truly, I had never seen, and I've seen a lot of bad feet.
I love that story. Hey, I was expecting a funny story since it was about Crocs.
Well, and What was funny is everybody teased me about, oh, you just have one pair of shoes. Well, you can't borrow mine, you know. What's the funny part?
Well, Jen, you sound like I would love to be a part of your pilgrim family and have you on my pilgrim family. I mean, I think anytime somebody gets a nurse on their pilgrim family, what a bonus. But you certainly have.
So sweet.
Your spirit, your energy just seems amazing. So I feel like your pilgrim family and warriors on the way really had to benefit from you being there. As much as it's sounding like you benefited from being a part of this team.
Well, it's Father Steve, I cannot, and Renee, gosh, she's just a beautiful, beautiful soul. But Father Steve has the vision and the energy. What he has put into this, I encourage anyone that even thinks one little part of what I've said would help, I encourage you to get in touch with him and consider your walk. It is so beneficial, and the you know, the metrics that he looks at from before the walk to after the walk, to comfort, healing, all those things are just multiplied times over. So it does help.
Wow. Well, your story inspires me. I want to go out and walk tonight. You know, like,
you can. That's a beauty thing.
Yeah, but it's reminding me of so many of the great qualities of the Camino and how it helps us. And I really do love your perspective on not only is it healing, but it's preparing us for the future because it makes us stronger. And I just love that perspective. Well, Jen, you have been, I don't even want to stop talking to you. I think I could talk to you for hours, but I want to keep the episode at least so people can have enough time to watch and listen. So I will have links, everyone, to the Warriors on the Way internet site, as well as the link if you want to apply. And as always, if you want to help support the program, because, you know, we're kind of help paying it back. If we've walked the Camino, it's really a great thing to support this program so that somebody else has the opportunity to go, and especially the service members in the military who have done so much for all of us. So thank you so much, Jen, for being here. You are, Renee told me I was going to love you, so she was right. And I'm so happy we've had this chance to meet. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you, Lee. I really appreciate you allowing me to be here. And thank you for what you're doing. Continue the great work.
Well, you're welcome back anytime. I would love to talk to you more. So everyone, I'm going to close the interview. Jen, please just stay on for a minute so you and I can say goodbye. Thank you for watching and supporting the Camino Cafe podcast. I so appreciate it. And I'll be back next week with more stories from the Camino, Buen Camino.
Las cosas que necesito en la vida ya están aquí. Las cosas que necesito en la vida ya están aquí. I am free, free as a bird now, with my feathered wings. I am free, free as a bird now, with my feathered wings.